What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 381 of the PS4 Blogcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is out of town. He's camping this weekend, so he will not be here.
Boo.
But it's going to be a light week. We've had some big episodes the past couple weeks, basically talking about PS5 stuff and Xbox stuff and just next gen in general. But this week's, it's kind of light. We'll catch up on some of the new releases we didn't talk about over the past couple weeks. So we'll jump into that. So one of the new releases we missed was, of course, the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remake. That's out there. That did really well. Spelunky 2 launched, I believe, week before last. That was a big one. I think it came to PS4 first and was going to come to PS4 later. We also had Mafia Definitive Edition. Genshin Impact came out this week, I believe. It's that free-to-play anime kind of Breath of the Wild thing that I was kind of interested before when they showed it. I was like, yeah, this looks kind of interesting. But when I found out it was a free-to-play game, that kind of, not that there's anything wrong with free-to-play. Like, obviously, I play Battle Royales that are free. But I don't really do that for any other genre. So I'm like, eh. And people are saying, like, yeah, it's okay. It's like, it's pretty, it's got some microtransactions in it, obviously, because it's free-to-play. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to do that. And some people are like, they're saying, like, oh, you can get about, like, you know, 20 hours worth of content out of it, and that's good for being free.
Yeah, it's just it's a gacha game from what I see, so, which I mean, I like gacha games. I'll probably play it at some point. But
yeah, I saw two people on my friends list playing it, and I was like, I didn't expect you guys to play it, but they're like playing a lot more games than I expect when I see them like hop around. So I'm like, wow, you guys are playing that game, all right. And then this week we had, of course, Star Wars Rogue Squadron came out on the 2nd. And then Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, also came out. I was going to pick up Crash, but I kind of want to wait. I mean, there's not much else coming out this month that I'm interested in, at least in the outside of the end of the month, which I'll just wait for PS5. So I might pick it up. I kind of wanted to go through and replay Crash 1, 2, and 3 on the Insane Trilogy, because I didn't actually play through all of them. I just hopped in and played a bunch of Crash 1. So I hopped into that last night, and I'll get into that later when we talk about what I'm playing. But yeah, I don't know if I'll go through all three again, but I feel like it'd be fun to play them just to see, you know, what they've improved in Crash 4. But it's reviewing really well. Like, people are liking it a lot. And then we also have, the Call of Duty Cold War Open Beta will start on the 10th. No, sorry, the 8th. I read that wrong. The date was backwards. I know they had the closed alpha for PlayStation, for PS4, like, I want to say last week, and it was during some event. You know, but now it'll be an open beta, so you can play that. And then there's also a Games of the Generation sale going on right now. It's a ton of games. So to go through a couple, it's like Ghost of Tsushima. That's on sale. And that game is, let me hop in here so I can see exactly how much it's discounted. It's 25% off. You could also get Jedi Fallen Order. That's discounted. That's 50% off. Then there's Overwatch, which is always seems to be discounted. Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a bundle, so it's the special edition. That's 65% off. So that's $28. And I feel like with the boost speeds people are seeing with the Xbox Series X, if Red Dead Redemption 2 also gets the same kind of boost on PS5, it could be a good time if you haven't played it, or if you want to replay it, to maybe, you know, wait for the next gen consoles. Then we also have Final Fantasy 14 is on sale. That's seems to be on sale. It's a bundle, so it's the complete edition. That's $30. So it's 50% off. Then we have Monster Hunter Worlds, 25% off. So it's 15. Witcher 3, 70% off. Dying Lights, 35% off. A couple of the standouts here. Oh, the Young House hit the Ghost of Tsushima Digital Deluxe Edition. A Way Out, Payday 2, Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection. It's always weird when I see Dragon Age Inquisition on sale, because I'm like, dude, are people going back and picking up that game? I know one Game of the Year it was out, but that was when, like, nothing else good was out that year. So it's like, it was one of those Game of the Years that people didn't really feel good about.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, yeah, and then Far Cry New Dawn's on sale. I should tell Isley. I wonder how much that one's on sale for. It's probably going to be like 50, yeah, 60% off. Okay. That makes sense. So it's $16. Dying Light the following, the DLC. Metal Gear Solid, the Definitive Edition, 60% off. So that's $8. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. So, and this sale goes on until, let's see, they didn't put the dates right up front. They don't put it on the banner. That's really annoying. So the promo, I like how they don't give me, okay, here we go. So the 14th. So that's when the promotion ends, at midnight on the 14th. Well, technically it'd be midnight on the 15th, but yeah, so you can look at those, check them out. A lot of good stuff. I'd say definitely you could pick them up, and then if there's something you missed, just pick it up and then maybe just wait to play it on PS5. Get a little boost if it's one of the games that gets it. And if it's not, then you can still play it at its normal settings. And then there's still the big in Japan sale, which you talked about before. That's there. And there's a bunch of games that are $15, which ends on the 14th as well. So a lot of deals going on right now. But let's jump into the news. So we'll go over, since we talked about new releases, we'll talk about the other big releases coming out in October. So there's a lot, but some of the noticeable ones are FIFA 21, Torchlight 3 comes out on the 13th, Cloudpunk comes out on October 15th, NHL 21 on the 16th, Amnesia Rebirth comes out on the 20th, then we also have Ghost Runner comes out on the 27th, and then Watch Dogs Legion is the 29th, and the Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope is on October 30th. So you can look forward to those. I will, of course, be holding off on Watch Dogs and playing it on PlayStation 5, so that'll be, and it won't be that rough. It's not like this story is going to be spoiled for me. It'll be people just talk about the game mechanics and if the recruit everybody, you know, actually works properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be okay waiting on that one. Now, moving on, we got the announcement for the second season of Fall Guys. That'll happen on the Thursday, October 8th is when season 2 launches. For some reason in my head, I thought it was going to happen in like November. I feel like when they first announced it, like it was just November was in my head. But I'm glad to see like it's sooner.
Ways off.
Yeah, I guess that when they showed the trailer for it at opening night live, it must have been like, they must have said fall or something. Or I don't know what, yeah. But in my head, I don't know why I was so convinced. Like it was, because opening night live was, what, that was in early August? Is that when Opening Night Live was? Or was it in September? I don't even remember anymore.
No, I think it was August.
Yeah, it must have been August. So maybe they did say October, and I knew that, because I remember I was playing with Flash, and he's like, oh, yeah, I saw the, you know, season 2 trailer. It's coming out soon. I'm like, no, it doesn't come out until, you know, date. And I knew the date. I'm like, yeah, it's not until, you know, then. So either they must have said October, maybe they said October, but they didn't have the exact date, so I just knew it was that month, but... Yeah, that'll be pretty soon. I'll look forward to that. I haven't played much Fall Guys yet. I know Flash usually plays on the weekend, so that's probably when I'll play with him and him. But yeah, I'll look forward to playing some new game types. Then we have Rogue Company goes free-to-play. So this was the team-based shooter, third-person shooter that came out a while ago. It was in early beta. I believe it was a paid beta on PC and PS4, and it's been doing really well. Like it's kind of like a third person, you know, Counter-Strike kind of thing, I guess. But people are really enjoying it. I saw a lot of streamers play it. Now, obviously they could be being paid to promote that kind of stuff. I don't remember seeing like hashtag ads whenever they're doing it. Like usually you see that on the streamer's description or somewhere on their stream in their like UI, they put it up that, hey, this is a sponsored stream. But I know a lot of the streamers are playing it and enjoying it. It looks fun. I just haven't played it because it's a team-based game. I'd be like, yeah, I'll play it if, you know, I had someone to hop in there with, but I don't really want to go in solo.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got news that The Pathless, which was shown at the last big Sony showcase, or was The Pathless shown at, I don't know, it could have been Opening Night Live. I can't even remember at this point, but this is the Giant Squid game that was announced. It's coming to PlayStation 5. It's also coming to PS4 and PC and Apple Arcade. And the release date is going to be on November 12th. So it'll be a launch game for PlayStation 5. So that's another one to add to the list. So I'm looking forward to that one. Hopefully it doesn't take up a lot of space on the hard drive. I can't imagine it would. That was like a really gorgeous looking game. So then Apex announced a new event coming up this month, as well as the crossplay beta. So crossplay was announced back when they announced the game coming to Switch. So it was, I believe, earlier in, I think it was in February 2020, because I believe it was on the anniversary, possibly, for the game, because it launched in February. But yeah, it'll be coming pretty soon. So that'll be starting on October 6th will be the crossplay beta. So it'll be between, right now it'll be between PS4, Xbox, and PC. So I'm curious if they're going to have to add Switch later. But we'll see. I'm curious how that'll go, and if you could pick and choose. Because like in Modern Warfare, you can choose, like, I'll turn on crossplay, but only people that play with controllers. So you can play against PC players, but only if they're using controller inputs. Which is, I believe, how another... I believe that's also how it works on Fortnite. That way you don't... Now, the thing with Fortnite is, though, if you have someone in your party, like your pre-existing party, and they're on PC with a keyboard, then it does match you up. You can get other people using keyboard and mouse in your main game. So that's the only thing that stops you. So I'm guessing it probably would work the same on the crossplay beta for Apex, where if you get into a lobby with someone who's using a keyboard, then you automatically get teamed up, or you have the possibility to be teamed up with players who are also on keyboard and mouse. So that would put you at a disadvantage there. But yeah, that'll be interesting. It's always good to see kind of that crossplay stuff. I wonder if I can limit it to just between two consoles. That'd be kind of fun. Especially because usually it's pretty easy to tell who's an Xbox username, because I think they can have spaces in their names. Yeah, that's good. Not that game might necessarily needs more. I guess it could be good, too, for the rank, because the biggest problem right now in ranked play is the queue times. I mean, we talked about it last time. Like, the higher up in rank you get, the queue times take longer, because obviously there's less people. And then it's like, okay, well, now that player base is spread more across the globe, so it's like, okay, are there more people of this rank in the EU, so they're not queuing up on the NA servers, obviously. So it'll be nice, I guess, to include the Xbox player base as well, if that can help speed up those queue times. But then it's gonna be kind of sick if you, like, you play with someone and you're like, okay, well, are they gonna have cross-platform friends lists? Because you can on Fortnite, but it's through your Epic account. And that's how you do it. So you can be like, oh, so-and-so's online on their Epic account. I can send them an invite, and in-game they'll come over, instead of sending an invite through, you know, traditional PlayStation method. So I'm wondering if it'll be the same for Apex, because that'd be like, you get a good team and you're like, oh, I can't add you to my friends list because you're on another platform. I hope they have a solution. But I mean, it is in beta, so maybe they'll have one post-launch or something. Then we also had news on the digital deluxe edition for Demon's Souls. It'll be $90. It comes with the original soundtrack, a bunch of consumable items, so like legendary hero souls around water souls. Like, these souls, I have no idea what they do. Maybe they, obviously they give you more souls, but I don't know if they can be crafted into weapons like in the other games, if they're unique that way. Probably not, because they're not like a boss named soul. A bunch of armor pieces and weapons that apparently weren't originally in the game. So I'm curious, like, people are wondering how that's going to affect stats. I don't remember how stats work in Demon's Souls, if it's similar to all the other Dark Souls games, if it's more on the Bloodborne side where it's not as much. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. So if you're looking for a collector's edition, you can get that. We had Jackbox Party Pack 7 announce their games in there. That are going to be in the pack. So it's going to be Quiplash 3, Devils in the Details, Champed Up, Talkie Points, and Blather Round. I think Blather Round is new. Maybe Champed Up is, but Quiplash is the one that people like the most. I'm surprised they didn't have another social deduction game like they did on Jackbox Party Pack 6. There was one where you're basically trying to figure out who's an imposter, like who's an alien on the ship, and you have to do like a series of questions. It seems like a really fun game. Like, that would be a fun one to play, because you can play with like, you can play with 3-4 people. It doesn't matter. And basically, like, someone's a captain, they pick two people to test, and I wish I remember what it's called, but basically it'd be like you and Isley.
It's like press the button or something.
Yeah,
like
press
that.
The button. Push the button or something like that. Yeah. It just seems like a lot of fun. And like I said, because you can play that one with so few people, whereas a game like Among Us, you want, you know, a good, healthy amount to make it more interesting. At least push the button, you can play with less. The downside, of course, is that it's, you know, a full price game. Well, not a full price game. I think Jackbox. I wonder what Jackbox costs now. I guess I can look it up on the store. I'll do that later. I didn't do it now. But yeah, I really want to play that, but I don't know anybody who has the Jackbox games, of course. I do have one, but like an old one.
I've always wanted to get the Jackbox game things. I just never did. I don't know. I've always wanted to have them just to have them, you know, but they're on like different platforms and I'm like, well, it matters what platform I get it on. Cause then if I get it on PlayStation, if we have people over, I have to have multiple controllers or we can do the phone.
Yeah. The phone. I feel like,
I don't know.
The phone method's the best way to go because I don't think there's any split screen. I think it's all phone based, right? I'm trying to remember when I played.
Well, I was thinking of like the trivia ones. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, because
we were looking into getting party games for like the Switch because I have that portable dock.
Yeah.
So we could get party games on the Switch and then just take it wherever we go, which is like all of two places right now. We go home and then we go to my dad's and then we go to his mom's. It's like those are the only people we hang out with because they don't hang out with anybody else either. But
yeah, because I believe it's all phone. Because let me look at Jackbox Party Pack 6. I believe that was the problem where it was like if we wanted to play now, you would have to basically do it to where one person streams it at the lowest latency possible, and then everybody has to watch that to at least see the big things. They'll still get the prompt on their phone for at least like for Quiplash, it'd be like, you know, what's the worst name for a new yogurt restaurant or something? And be like, you get that prompt on your phone, you type it in. But in order to see it, you have to actually be watching the TV, so you'd have to watch the stream. Mm-hmm. So there would be a slight delay. But I mean, that's
how... If somebody got it on a computer, we just use Parsec. Is that what's called, Parsec? Is that new, like, streaming thing? Let me look.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, Parsec is like it's like a low latency streaming thing, but you can use it as like a remote desktop too. I don't know. I was looking into it because a few of the people I watch on YouTube have been using it, like Game Grumps and stuff. They've been using it to stream to each other, and apparently it's like really low latency. But I didn't download it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. Jackbox Party Pack 6 is $30 right now, so there's that one. I think I own another one. I know I own one of them because I played it with Flash and my cousin one time. I forget which one it was. But it's a shame you can't do like, you know, I haven't tested it recently, but I'm curious how low you can get the latency on streaming from your PS4. Like, since I have my Elgato, I can use that to stream. And then I think you can turn Twitch down to like, what, 1 second maybe? That's the lowest. But yeah, it's a shame you can't do like the, you know, how they have the online, you know, oh God, I forget what they call it. But you pass the controller over the internet like, oh, you can play my game. But just to have it be that, but just to view and have it be instant without having to go through, you know, Twitch or some other program.
Sorry.
No worries. Stuff falling over.
No, the cat jumped into the blinds. Oh.
But yeah, that man, that should be a lot of fun to play some of the games. Some of the games I don't care about. There are a couple. It's like I wish that it could be like you could buy a personalized bundle to just get each one of the games you like. Like, okay, I want, because I think they do a standalone Quiplash because it's so popular. But I wish I could be like, oh, I want this one. Like, there's a bomb defusal one on one of the games. That was pretty fun. But yeah, like I just want to piecemeal together a Jackbox Party Pack game. Or if I could just buy them standalone, that'd be great.
Yeah, like buy each individual game that you know you're going to play when you play it.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news was we got the trailer for Spider-Man Remastered for PlayStation 5, which the biggest thing was that it showcased a new character model for Peter Parker. So instead of John Bubniak, who was the face model used in the original game, they went with a new person named Ben Jordan. And they said it was a very difficult, like I think Brian Intihar went on, tweeted about it, but they basically said it was like a really difficult decision. But in order to, I guess, get the, I don't know. It's like something about the fidelity of the next gen and wanting to be able to, I guess, because this voice actor matches much better with Yuri Lowenthal, who does the voice for Peter Parker, which I'm surprised they don't do the Naughty Dog route of, you know, facial capture, but, you know, hand animate, which maybe they don't want to do. I'm sure they do some tweaking at least to make it look a little better. But I guess because this person's face looks more like Yuri's, it better matches up with like the nuance of the performance, I suppose. They must be doing some facial capture if they matching up someone else's face on there. So it, yeah, it has to be that. But I'm surprised they didn't do like another version. I guess that makes sense. Because Yuri's, I forget how old, he's a lot older than I thought. I was like, oh, wow, Yuri's older than I thought. He's been around for a while. But yeah, I guess if this is what they want to do, this is what they want to do. So they showed that in the trailer to kind of like drop the bomb, like, hey, this is the new character. We didn't go about it lightly. We hope you understand. And my first take was on that he seemed like he was just way younger than the previous model. But they did say that Peter Parker in their game is only 23 years old. And I'm like, you know, because in my head, I always pictured like it was like late 20s. I'm like, man, he looks like he could almost be as old as Miles in this trailer. But I'm like, I guess if he's 23, yeah, you know, people can still have that kind of baby face look at, you know, low 20s. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, it's not too bad. So I was thinking about I might replay Spider-Man Remastered before Miles Morales just to get accustomed to Peter Parker, like speedrun the story if that's possible. I wonder how long it'll take just if I mainlined it. And then just in case he shows up Miles Morales, I didn't think he would, considering, you know, he says it's your turn, Miles, in the reveal trailer. I thought maybe he'd be out of town. That's why it's just Miles Morales. But since they changed it and revealed in the remaster, I feel like he might show up at some point, like at the end or something. And they don't want that to be a surprise to all the people playing Miles Morales. So, okay, reveal it in the remastered trailer so people aren't caught off guard when they play Miles Morales. But also showed off some of the ray tracing. That will be a performance mode where they set it at 60 frames a second. So it'll probably be 1080p, maybe 1440p upscaled, who knows. And there's also going to be the ray trace mode. They showed off some of the ray tracing, as well as they said it'll have, you know, near instant loading, 3D audio, haptic feedback on the adaptive triggers. I feel like that could be really cool for the web or singing, you know, the web shooters. That'd be kind of fun if they do anything there. Mm-hmm. They also said if you do miss the loading screen, since it's Peter Parker on the subway, you know, either by himself or chatting with a fan or that guy who's in the other Spider-Man costume, you can turn those on if you want to. So I thought that was pretty funny. Like, you know, I kind of do miss this little silly cut, you know, loading scene. So I want them back. I'll just turn them on. But yeah, so the ray tracing looks pretty good. Some people point out in some spots it doesn't look perfect, but there's a great Digital Foundry video that went out today that kind of talks about the overhead needed to render frames with ray tracing. And it talks a lot about how you have like an 8 millisecond budget in a 30 FPS game, which is what the ray tracing game will run mode will run out is at 30 frames. And they talk about how you have 8 millisecond budget essentially in this talk about, okay, you have to render the geometry. You have to pass the rays onto the scene. You have the distance that those rays can travel. Then you give a one pass of a return on those rays and then you fine tune them. And it's like, well, the higher resolution that the ray tracing is, the bigger hit you're going to take because it's going to take longer. And so they do some really good examples of Battlefield 5 and some other games showing like using an RTX 2080 Super, I guess, to kind of mimic the PS5 GPU, which it's not going to be obviously perfect because there's some other factors in there, but at least for the ray tracing functionality, that's what he went with. And it kind of shows like, look at the performance. Like if I just look at this puddle and it's a 4K ray trace, I get about 30 frames a second just looking at it, sometimes dipping below. But if I'm moving or there's anything else in the scene, then it falls below 30 frames. So he talked about how like the easiest thing you can do is either lower the distance that those rays are going to travel. So you obviously don't need that much when it comes to a puddle, but when it comes to like windows, you could need a lot. like in Spider-Man and a lot, because you can see the city skyline. So clearly the rays are going way out into the distance. Or you can reduce the amount of rays that are shot out, because one people point out is like, and I noticed immediately, was that the leaves on the trees, there's not as many in the ray trace reflections as there are in the actual game. But leaves are transparent in every game. It's like they're just they're not a solid. So you need more rays to capture them all. So if you just reduce the amount of rays, you're obviously hitting less leaves, but you're increasing the distance that the ray trace reflection can go. And obviously you want to get those cities or the buildings in the skyline in the ray trace reflection. So like, okay, you're going to hit some lower resolution. Maybe you do like a 1080p or 900p, or you just cut down some of the detail. And that's what you have to do for ray tracing. It's like, that's the trade-off. But of course, this is in still images. Obviously, if you're moving through the city, it's going to look good and you're not going to even notice. It's one of those things like in motion, I'm sure it's going to look great. But yeah, obviously a still shot, it's like, it can look good, but you notice like, oh, his suit's not as quite as detailed as it is, you know, and yada, yada. It's like, yeah, it's ray tracing's expensive. Like it costs a lot. It's one of those things that will probably shine a lot in games that don't have, you know, obviously skyscrapers, you know, and big old buildings, like in Demon's Souls, it'll probably look really good because it's, you know, it's just puddles or it's just small things. There's not a lot. So they don't have to, the rays don't have to go that far. And you're good to go. But yeah, that was the big news there. There was a nice little side by side of the scene where with the new Peter Parker versus the old, that they did. Oh, they're also adding the Amazing suit from The Amazing Spider-Man. That was something a lot of fans really wanted as well. So that will be in the game. And they have an image of that. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. The only thing not related is that there were some, they weren't actual Xbox Series X consoles. They were more like a almost finished version of them, where they sent them out to a bunch of, you know, games press and influencers to basically just try out just backwards compatibility. And not everything is available for backwards compatibility on the, for at least the boosted Xbox mode for backwards compatibility. Only a couple, you know, like a handful of games. It's like, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2, Final Fantasy 15. I want to say Hitman. And then a couple other games, Tomb Raider. Bunch of games basically for people to try out the boost they get to old games, switching between, you know, that I forget what they call it, quick resume, jumping between game to game, which again is something I don't think I would ever use. It was interesting to see in action, but it's like I wouldn't use that because I just stick to the one game. Like I can see maybe if I'm playing like Civ 6 and like I don't want to save, I don't just pause it and then hop out to play Fall Guys or something. But yeah, the boost, it really, mainly what they were showing, Digital Foundry did some nice videos where they looked at games that had either uncapped frame rates or variable, or had resolution scaling, because that's where the boost comes most into play. Obviously, if a game is capped at 30, you get no benefit. If it's capped at resolution, you're not going to get a benefit. Now, Xbox says they're going to have a feature later to where games will run at 4K, 160 frames per second. We'll wait and see. But as far as it goes for you know, enhancing these old games, it's kind of a good look at to what the how they'll perform probably on PlayStation 5, because you know they talked about that where people are realizing now when they go back to the Cerny talk from March, he was when he said we looked at the top 100 most played games on PlayStation 5 to see how they perform, and in that instance he was talking about with the PS5 boost mode, not running the PlayStation 4 in the legacy mode for the base console or legacy mode for the PS4 Pro console. They were just talking about how, obviously, and because Xbox even said the same thing, like, you'll see an improvement on games, but they have to be looked at by a case-by-case basis. That's why not every game is available on this, you know, preview console for the Xbox for people to play, because they haven't, you know, done an update or tightened up the code for the Series X so that the improved speeds don't totally brick the game. I mean, which is to be expected, and I'm surprised people didn't think about that with the PS4 Pro, because there's even threads on Reddit where it's like, you know, here's the games that don't have a Pro patch, but the Pro boosts performance. And then here's games that don't work with the boost because it breaks them. And Bloodborne was one of those games, at least for me, where it would constantly brick my save after I got a certain distance if I turn on boost mode, even though the boost wasn't really that good of a mode for Bloodborne anyways, because you still had frame pacing problems. Like it did a little bit of cleanup, but it wasn't that good. I just have to go through. So I'm curious to see how many games from the start at launch will have that. If you look at the 100 most played games, like, I guess that's a good thing to do. I know they said 99% of the catalog will be backwards compatible, but again, that's going to be in the legacy modes where you're basically restricting the hardware to operate as if it were a PS4 Pro or a PS4. But of course, you'll get basic load time boosts, but you won't get graphical and performance boosts outside of that. So I'll be curious to see how many games actually have a PS5 boosted mode, because that could just come down to, do the devs want to create one, you know, create a patch? Obviously, the first party games from Sony most likely will. I could totally see like Uncharted 4 getting a 60 FPS mode on the main game, because they had 60 FPS in the multiplayer, but multiplayer ran at 900p. And then I think on the Pro, it eventually got a 1080p resolution patch on there. Or maybe it was 900p on base and 1080p on the Pro. But the resolution or the frame rate on the main game was obviously capped at 30. So maybe they could do like a uncap there. So yeah, because I'll be curious to go back and try games, because the only games with uncapped frame rates I can think of would be Infamous Second Son. Because I had a mode, they patched a mode later to where you can uncap the frame rate on there. And you typically can get like, you know, high 40s, low 50s. But then if there's a lot of stuff going on, it would dip down. So it wasn't very stable. So I'm curious if it'd be a stable 60 now. But as far as dynamic resolution, I know games like, obviously, there's a lot of games that do dynamic resolution, especially in, if it has multiplayer or just in base stuff. But even if they're not hitting 4K, it's like, oh, the PS4 is doing, you know, 1440p, but it can be, with dynamic resolution, it could drop down to 1080. Now, obviously, when you're playing and it does that, you won't notice it. But if you, you know, pause or you get some, it's not like there'd be a big section where it's, unlike frame rate, which you notice a lot, you can't really notice the dynamic resolution. So if they just make it that resolution steady, it's like, okay, that's great. But there's a lot of games that do that now. But there are some games, of course, that maybe they have a target 60 FPS, but they don't hit it all the time. That was something we saw with Battlefield 1, which came out during the PS4 Pro same year, where that game targeted 60, and on PS4, it could be like high 40s, low 50s during multiplayer gameplay. But then when you play on PS4 Pro, it was much closer to, it wasn't a lock 60, but it only dipped down to maybe like 58. During gameplay. So it's a big improvement. Plus you had the resolution boost due to checkerboarding. So I'll be curious to see. Hopefully they release a list. And that people are also wondering, like, well, why isn't Sony doing any consoles out there yet? And I think that because they're not going to do this, here's a pre-finished, you know, limited model that you guys can use just to play with. I think they want to get out complete models. Like, here's the final product. You know, play around with it, yada yada. You have full functionality. I think that's what they're going to do. I know with PS4, they didn't necessarily give out a bunch of. Well, they had an event. It was that New York event where that's where most of the press got their PS4s. But obviously, there's not going to be an event this time around. So, I'll be curious to see when they release the console to the press. I know there's some. I think it's a Japanese YouTuber I saw on Twitter this morning, who they got one and they said, oh, they have PS5 and I guess it'll be something about next week. So they're going to look at some things. Let me, you know, that's kind of important. So let me pull up exactly what it was. Cause it wasn't everything. It was like a small mix of stuff that they'd be talking about. So I wonder if they're going to be limited in the same way that Microsoft limited the discussion for Xbox Series X. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, they said tomorrow, and that was at 4:11 a.m., so Sunday. Okay, they'll be playing Astrobot, Godfall, and DMC 5. It's a YouTuber, and I it's in Japanese, so I don't know her name. But on YouTube, or on Twitter, let's see, let me look at the YouTube channel. Yep, so in 15 hours it'll be a premiere. I don't know who this is. They have two, It might not be a YouTube influencer, maybe. I don't know. They have 2.92 million subscribers on this channel, but I can't tell if this channel is a press channel. Well, their Twitter name is Pocket Sweets, so it must be just one person. YouTube, Instagram. Yeah, so it must be just one Japanese influencer who I don't know about. Well, obviously, because they're Japanese. I don't follow them. But yeah, they'll be playing three games, it looks like. So obviously the three games that will be have gone gold. Because I mean, that could be one of the things too. Like, Sony has to wait for not only just to give consoles to the press, but they have to wait until they have, like, you know, games that went gold, or because they don't want to give them, like, you know, here's some you know, post, you know, some alpha footage or, you know, alpha gameplay you can play. It's like they want to give them the complete thing so they can review it and get it up by launch. So we'll see. But I imagine that would be probably later this month. I'm hoping we get some trailers for, or at least some information on, you know, maybe some more info from Sony. Like, I'm really curious about the capture on the consoles. And I talked before, like, the frame rate and the bit rate. I want to know what that is. I want to know. There was the thing that leaked where on their website, I won't go over it entirely, but there was a bunch of stuff embedded in the code, you know, that people dug up that wasn't on the site itself. But things like 100 person parties, and like, that's way too many people. Like, why? Like, I mean, I guess if I'm playing, you know, Fortnite or a game that has 100 people battle royale and like we could all queue together, maybe, but that's not possible at the moment.
That's,
I guess,
that's too many people.
Yeah.
Voices.
Yeah. And especially if we're just playing a different game. Don't need that. But some other stuff in there. I don't remember anything initially stand out, but it was some person on YouTube who did a video. I watched it. It wasn't a lot of information, but it seems like there's some more stuff that will be coming available eventually. I'm assuming it'll probably just be a blog post to be like, hey, here's how X, Y, and Z works. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. Just waiting for more next gen information. All the big releases to start hitting at the end of the month and then at the start of console launch. I'll be curious to see if they knew. I saw the UK had some stores that were doing another wave of PS5 pre-orders, and I think Xbox, maybe it was just PS5. So I'm curious when we're going to see that next in the in North America and all the other territories. Just have to wait and see. All right, let's go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. What have you been playing, Zai?
So I finally played Last Campfire.
Nice.
How was that? So adorable and so fun. It was way too short. And I know. Don't at me about it. But it's just, I love it so much. It could have been three times as long and I would have had just as much fun playing it. It's basically, to bring up this comparison again, it's everything that I liked, or the things that I really liked about Breath of the Wild, the like exploring and finding puzzles and like little contained puzzles within the larger puzzles and things like that. I love that kind of exploration thing where you have these little tiny optional things you can do, but they're part of a larger puzzle that you do to progress. I don't know. It was just really fun. I really love those types of games. And now I really want more of those little like adventure platformer puzzle type of games. So I have extensively added to my wish list now, which is unfortunate because I just bought Nier Automata, so it's probably going to be a while before I play any of those.
How long was Last Campfire?
Probably about 5 or 6 hours, it depends on like how quickly you blow through the puzzles or if you like stop to explore, you know, like appreciate things. I went through it really slowly and like talked to every little person I could and found every little thing I could. I platinumed it the first way through, so it's not difficult in any mean, but it just depends on how much you like appreciate the little details and how quickly you go through it. But probably like 5 hours, maybe six.
Were the puzzles pretty, I know I heard that they were pretty easy. Did they get more challenging as you went on?
Not necessarily. It was more like the challenge was from them introducing new concepts rather than the actual like difficulty of the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple of them where I got a little stumped And I ended up kind of like, there are puzzles that you can kind of fuck up and it gets really difficult to solve them just by the way that you like move things around. It makes it difficult to move it into the position you need it to be. So you'd have to, so I ended up leaving and then going back and just resetting the whole thing. And that made it a lot easier after I figured out what I had to do. But no, not necessarily difficult, just interesting and neat the way that they do things. And it's like, that's what I mean when I say like it could be three times as long and I still would have enjoyed it, because if they had just kept building on these concepts and adding new things without necessarily like maybe a few difficult ones in there here and there, the like optional ones that you need, you don't need to progress. If they were like super difficult, that'd be fine. But if it was just, you know, a 12 to 20 hour game of, you know, walking around and finding puzzles. And I mean, the only completion thing that I did in Breath of the Wild was I found all the shrines, because that was one of my favorite parts of the game. So if it was just that, but like 20 hours, I'd be totally content with it.
I guess, yeah, I hadn't heard about the short thing. I didn't realize how short it was.
It's a good day game. It's a good game to sit down and just play start to finish and have a nice, like, contained experience. And at the end, I didn't think about it until later. I was like, yeah, I could... It's a shame that I platinumed this game already, because I want to play it again. But when it ended, I was still really happy with the experience. I was like, that was really fun and adorable. And I love that. It was good. I can't wait for them to do another similar type of thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what they do. I wonder how many people they had working on the game. Like, if it was how small the team was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully it does well, because it'd be nice. You always want to see, you know, to do well enough that it's, you know, good for them. And they can be like, okay, we can do more of these, you know, smaller style of games. Maybe expand some of them, make them a little longer. But
mm-hmm.
look at the, take the feedback and be like, okay, people loved, you know, X, Y, and Z about it. Let's expand on it. Have you still been playing Final Fantasy, or are you all basically done just waiting for 5.35?
I am taking a break because I finally hit 80 on right. Dark Knight. I've done every side quest, every disciple of like war or magic or whatever. I haven't done any of the crafting and gathering shit, but I did every side quest in Shadowbringers. I did all of the role quests. I did the bonus role quest for doing all of the role quests. And I mean, also, yeah, I leveled a job and my inventory hurts and I don't want to deal with it. So I decided to just take a break and find something else to do for a little while.
Yeah, I haven't been playing much. Haven't done much Fall Guys. Like I said, typically I only play that on the weekend. I played some Apex. The season reset. So now we're in the second half of the ranked season. So it's back on King's Canyon. And I just don't like King's Canyon as much as I like World's Edge. I know a lot of people typically in these kind of situations, they prefer the OG maps versus the new ones, but I like World's Edge a lot. I feel like there's way more. One of the things that is, there's way more loot. The loot tables are bigger. It's better to rotate. I like the biomes a lot more. Like, King's Canyon is just very much, there's not a whole lot of, like, there's some diversity there, but it's just not a lot. And I'm so used to it now. But at least with the rank reset, it takes me back down, because they drop you by a rank and a half from wherever you are. So it's like, okay, well, I'll just get back up to where I was, and then I'll, you know, stop or something, maybe play the events. But and then, yeah, just still doing a little bit of Civ 6. I can't wait. I'm hoping that game gets a PS5 update, or at least is compatible from the start. Even there's no update, just so I can get faster load times, because my god, loading Civ 6 on console is the longest goddamn thing ever. And like on my Mac, I got, you know, 32 gigs of RAM that I put into it back when I bought it, so I'm like, okay, I got speed there, so that's good. Even though it's, you know, they got their Fusion Drive, but I don't think it's really all that fast, but it's quicker. And the worst, like, it's when I restart, like, so if I get a new game, like, I don't like the spawn location. I'm next to a volcano. I don't want to be here, and there's nothing good to go around. I don't want to waste two turns moving my settler. So I'm like, oh, I'll just restart. But even restarting takes 20 years. I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it just takes so long. I'm like, my God. So I look forward to SSD speeds for that game. But and then yeah, just playing a little bit of Mario 64 every now and again, just hop and play a couple levels. Be like, oh yeah, I forgot about the invisible wall that the rabbit leads you to, so you can find that level. Or I forgot about, you know, oh, there's this thing. But yeah, some of those I'm trying to play, and we're like, the problem with Mario 64 is that, like, I know the majority of the stars in a lot of the levels. Like, I know what to do here. But that's a lot more like in the first half, especially in the first, you know, four worlds. Obviously, it's like Bob on Battlefield, you know how to get all the stars. The underwater one with the eel, you know how to get all those ones. You just have to wait to get the metal cap, because you can't get that till later. the fortress map, I forget what that's called. Like, you know all those. But it's like, then later I get onto the, what's the level? It's like the, essentially it's the dungeon. And there's like, it has the classic da-da-da-da-da. But it's like, oh,
yeah,
get this star. And now I'm actually have to look at the name of the star to try to figure out where the hell I have to go. And I'm like, I know this level. I don't know if I know where the stars are. So now I'm getting to that point to where that memorization that I had when I played it, you know, obviously way back in the day, where I knew like, ah, get all the stars out of order. Like, I, now I'm going to be like, where's the star? So it's kind of fun. And there's a Min-Max, who is, of course, made up of previous members of Game Informer who got laid off. They're doing a deepest dive. So they're breaking the game up into segments. They did the first up through Bowser, the first fight with Bowser, then up through the second fight. And they basically just talk about, you know, the game. So they spent like 2 hours talking about Mario 64. So it's fun to listen to that while I play. And hear, like, especially when it comes to complaint, like people having issues with the camera, or if they have trouble with certain stars or figuring out what to do. And they talk about, like, yeah, and like, you just have to know, like, to shoot the corner of this wall and the wall explodes. And like, yeah, how would you figure that out? It's like, yeah, it's crazy to think of, like, all these star locations, like, that people knew. Like, one kid must have had the strategy guide and no one else did, but they just spread it like a virus, this information. Because I'm like, yeah, there's so many stars in the game. Like, I never read the descriptions. I don't read the signs. I don't talk to Toad or the bombs. So it's like, you just know to get the chomp, to get the star behind Chomp Chain, you just stomp on the post. Or to get the pyramid top off in the sand level, you stomp on all the four pillars, or, you know, you do this, or you shoot the wall, or yada yada. Or you have to grab this penguin, not the second baby penguin, to give to the mom. Or it's like, so it or, you know, where like all the secrets are. The, oh, here's a, go through this window, it's a secret level. But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see once I get to the back half how much of that I remember. Because, of course, when you replay, you know, Mario 64, you typically just play the first, the lobby of the castle, essentially. You don't play much else. But yeah, it's pretty fun. Like I said, the camera can definitely be a pain in the ass sometimes. And then, yeah, I played a little bit more Subnautica with Isley. Waiting for him to get back. That's fun to go in there. And then I really need to finish Assassin's Creed, the DLC. Like, I'm curious. Did you finish the Hades one? Or the, I forget what it's called, but it's basically like when you go down to hell and like you have to get through like that section.
Yes, I think we did.
Was there like big, like, once you're done with the DLC, is there like any significant story stuff for like Layla or anyone that's like, this is good information to have going into the next game potentially? Is there any?
I honestly don't remember. Yes, probably, because I remember when you finish the, like, the stuff in the game, like in the Animus, you go out of it. But I don't remember what happened after that.
All right. Yeah.
I didn't play it. I watched Michael play it, so I probably wasn't fully paying attention.
Yeah. I'll probably just watch a, hopefully someone does a no commentary let's play and I can just skip through it or something. Because, like, I thought I was pretty close, but I have to, like, oh no, you got to recruit four people to replace Hades dudes that guard the gate. But then I have to get like this piece of armor to go through this special like portal that would kill me. And so I'm like, well, how do I? And I got stuck on a part where it's like, I had to go somewhere. And it's like, the waypoint was behind this wall that I need the special armor to go through. I'm like, okay, well, I can't do this quest, obviously. So I pick another quest, but for some reason, it just wasn't really taking me anywhere I needed to go. And I was like, I don't get it. And I was like, why is it? Why are you showing me this way? But I can't go that way. But none of the other quest waypoints are really helping me out with going someplace else. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I got a whole month, I guess, but we'll see. But yeah. All right. Well, that wraps us up for this episode. Hopefully we get some PS5 news this month so we can talk more about that. Maybe some more previews of stuff, or maybe just even some more examples of like how, you know, games will run or which games are going to get the PS5 boost. That'd be nice. But yep. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.